In the studio, I've got Jasmine from the Environment Centre. Morning, Jasmine.
Morena, Aaron. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well. So how has the Environment Centre been?
Yeah, really good. It's just pretty good at the moment with
the
sun
out. Nice day out there, isn't
it?
Oh,
man, yeah. What a relief from the rain. Yeah, I'm so ready for summer. Maybe not the heat intensity we're going to have.
Yeah, I hear that it's going to be pretty warm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. But, yeah, we're doing really well. We've had quite a lot going on. We just held a bike maintenance workshop on the weekend, on Sunday.
Yep.
And I actually went as a...
participant,
yeah. Took my bike in, and gosh, it was empowering. It was just such a good workshop. It was a good turnout of, I think there were about 6 or 7 of us,
yeah,
and with 2 facilitators, teachers, and yeah, it was really great, really interesting. Like, I now know how to take my wheel off my bike, how to take the inner tube out, how to repair a hole, how to replace the inner tube, how to test my brakes, and there was some safety aspects of it that was taught as well. But it's really not as complicated as you think.
Right, they've taken the mystery out of it for you.
They have taken the mystery out of it, which means that it makes riding your bike around to school and town much more accessible, much more appealing, because I actually had 2 flat tires and I was convinced that they were punctures.
Yeah.
And so we took the inner tubes out, tested them, like we learned how to test for a puncture and find a puncture.
Yep.
And they weren't punctures at all.
Right.
It was just that, like, you learned about the little valve, about how it might not be fitting to the, you know, the air pump as well, or it might be getting pushed in, and it wasn't punctures at all. Yeah, but it just wasn't that hard. Once you know.
Yeah, once you know, you know.
Yeah, so we're talking about doing more of those. So keep an eye out.
Was it anything about electric bikes?
No, nothing about electric bikes. Okay. This is just basic bike maintenance. But I don't think they even managed to cover everything that they intended to cover on their list. So
it might be interesting with electric bikes, because we've all kind of got reasonably new electric bikes at the moment, because they're fresh. But eventually they're going to end up with old dunger bikes. And
well, I've got one of those. Yep. So I've got an old dunger electric bike.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've had it for a while.
So the battery isn't as powerful as what it should be. But, yeah, I do think that would be really interesting. You're right. I might look into that, because probably just having an understanding of how an electric bike works and what you need to do to ensure the longevity of a bike battery.
Because you pay a bit more for an electric bike. We treat it more like a car. Like, we get it serviced. Our place, like, looked after properly.
Yep. And there's lots of things to think about. Like, if you buy an electric bike that seems like a really great deal, usually the reason why it's a really great deal is because if there's any issues with the battery, you're not going to be able to get it fixed in New Zealand because they can't get parts for it.
Yeah.
Similar to the way cars work, right?
Buyer beware thing that you just don't know about.
Exactly, yeah. That's one thing I did learn off somebody who knows a lot about electric bikes.
Yeah. And another thing I've learned about electric bikes is you go through the brakes fast. You wear the brake pads down because the bike's going so much faster.
Yep.
Yeah, so ours have been replaced a couple of times in the few years we've had it.
Yeah, I think that's what the teachers on the weekend said, is that they didn't get to cover things like they ran out of time for... We actually went half an hour over the workshop. And I tell you what, 2 hours flew by.
Right.
Yeah, it was just fascinating. Yeah.
And it sounds like you had a good teacher-pupil ratio as well, so you got lots of time with the experts.
Yep, 2 teachers, yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So that was just... We just had it down in the community house, and that was on, like, a Sunday when it was pouring with rain, and... I wasn't fazed at all, but just because I knew how valuable learning these things would be. So I really encourage people to keep an eye out for these bike maintenance workshops, because... I know this sounds like a little bit over the top, but I really feel like it was life-changing.
Right, okay.
Just having those basic skills and being self-sufficient, especially as a woman, is really valuable.
Cool. Yep. All right. So is there anything else happened recently you want to talk about, or we talk about what's coming up?
Well, yesterday I actually had I had 2 year 9 classes from Raglan area at at 1 a.m, 1 p.m, walked down from school down to the town hall here, and we spent about 30-40 minutes in the centre talking about all of our projects, the history of the Environment Centre, the history of, like, basically of how we came about and Extreme Zero Waste and Harbour Care,
yeah,
and then going over the different projects and why we do them, past projects like plastic bag free Raglan, and then they went through the seed stand, which was really fun, the free seed stand.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's always out in the town hall in the foyer here.
If someone is in the centre,
yes,
they'll put the seed stand out. But yeah, every Wednesday it's out all day. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So that, for those who don't know, we have this stand that was built by a someone in Raglan out of wood from Extreme.
Yeah.
And it just sits outside the town hall occasionally, and it's a free seed stand. So it's got those black 6L plastic seed trays, the little ones, and it's got seed raise mix, and it's got a selection of seeds, and it's free to anyone to help themselves to all of that.
So there's a car outside that's just pulled up, it's got four dogs in it. That was quite surprised.
Yeah. I thought, know who that is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I thought I'm just, now I'm
that
distracted.
Cool.
I'm going to have
really
to
funny.
Say this out loud because I won't be able to concentrate.
Oh, yeah. No, now the dog's taking over the driver's steering wheel.
Yeah, the
steering wheel.
Yeah, the driver's got out and the dog's immediately into the driver's seat. Looking out the window going.
I had a goat that used to do that. Yeah,
what,
jump in the driver's seat and honk the horn.
Did you used to drive places with a goat?
No, not. Well, he tried. He'd jump into the passenger seat and hide in the footwell and wouldn't get out. Yeah.
Goats.
Goats are awesome. So back to where were we? Oh, the seed stand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the seed stand is there for anyone to help themselves, and just help yourself to that. There's a really great group that get together a couple of times of the month in the centre, and we call them the Seedy Sorters.
Yeah, okay.
And it's a nice big group. It's quite sociable, and they get together and they sort seeds. They bring in seeds that they are saving from their own gardens, so and they discuss the seeds, like how to save them. I think they're getting quite technical about it as well. They stock up our seed bank in this nice cool vault that we have for them. And
yeah,
it's really great. It's really exciting. Such a simple thing is just inspiring so many people.
And folks, they really do have a vault.
Yeah.
I've been
in a walk-in vault. Yeah.
The door is so heavy.
Amazing.
It's quite impressive. Don't want to get locked in there.
No. Oh, you can't. You can't actually lock it. It's that mechanism's been removed.
I think the council office used to be in that room a long, long time ago,
yeah,
decades ago.
Yeah, so maybe all the rate money went into the vault.
Maybe that's what it was for. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, so that was fun. So then with the Year 9s, we walked down to the community gardens and had a good look at the community gardens, and they're just in the transition stage where all of the winter stuff is dying away, and they're waiting for it to go to seed so that they can collect the seeds there, and they've got the seedlings going to put new vegetables in there, and then they've got two or three new garden beds that are going in as well.
So this is all done by volunteers?
It's all done by volunteers, yeah. Yep. Although Tanya and Manu's still involved in it as well.
They are staff.
They're staff, yeah. And then the kids, but what was growing down there is sorrel and fennel in quite good supply. Have you tried both of those?
I remember fennel as a kid. We used to
get
it.
It's like those
aniseed
lolly. Remember the aniseed wheels? You can still buy them at the dairy.
Oh, you can.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's what always they immediately think of, because they, like, if you try and fennel for the first time and you relate it back, it does taste like those aniseed wheels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, some people say licorice. Yeah. Okay. But sorrel is my favourite leafy green, and it was
really okay.
Yeah. Oh God, it's so delicious, and it was just really fun getting the kids to taste it and not tell them what to expect, because it's like, it looks like baby spinach.
Oh, and, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and it was just, it's really exciting watching kids, like, try new things, taste new things, being, you know, their minds expanded into, you know, what they can do with you know, food especially.
Yeah.
So that was really, and they looked into the worm farm, we talked about worms and the juice, and yeah, it was great fun.
Worm juice.
Mm. Worm juice, worm wee.
Yeah. Hey, so what's coming up with the Environment Centre? I hear there's some science nights coming.
Yeah, we got two confirmed science nights. So we have got one actually next week. Is it? Hang on. What date are we today?
We're the 2nd of November,
I'm pretty
I believe.
Sure it's next Wednesday. Or maybe not. Hang on. 16th of November.
It's a couple of weeks.
It's a couple of weeks, sorry. In 2 weeks' time, 16th of November.
Okay.
Which is Wednesday, because science nights are on a Wednesday night. So that's really exciting. It's we've got, do you know Lolo? He is a local Raglan resident. Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tall French man.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So he's the head of research for the ocean cleanup.
Okay.
Yeah. So the ocean cleanup, they.
I think I might have interviewed him about that a few years ago.
Probably. Yeah. He's been working for them for quite a while. So they are the organization that work on the Great Pacific Garbage Patch.
Yes. Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So that's the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. For those who don't know, it's the largest accumulation of floating ocean plastic in the world, between Hawaii and California.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a ridiculous thing. If you haven't heard about it, when you first hear about it and you see the pictures, you're like,
it's insane. And it's not
like
just
the diagram of the area it takes up.
Yeah, yeah. And people look at the aerial photos of it, and so you're just seeing the surface floating plastic, but it actually goes deep as well.
Yeah, and there's something about the way the currents move around the Pacific that it seems to send it all to that area.
Yeah. Yeah, it turns it into a giant island,
just over
floating
months
island.
Months and years.
Yeah.
Yeah, not pretty.
So as the head of research, Lolo has just recently returned from, I think he was working in it for, because they've got really big ships that work in it and capture all of that rubbish. And I think they're working from the outside in because it's the only way to do it. And they have, yeah. Yeah. And so they're collecting it and... Yep. As they collect it, like part of Lolo's job is to, like, you know, capture. You know how on beach cleans we capture the data, we record every piece of rubbish we find. That's basically what he does, but on a much more giant scale.
A lot of it's also broken into tiny particles as well.
Yeah, everything gets recorded.
Wow.
And also not just recorded, but examined to determine where it's come from, like what it is. And
then they call everyone. Yep. We found a piece of your plastic bottle.
Well, I have seen photos like that where people, I think someone just did it on the Raglan notice board as well. They did a beach clean at Ruapoke just by themselves.
Yeah.
And they put it on the notice board, photos of it, and saying, is this yours? Do you want to come back and get it?
Yeah.
So Lolo's just had 3 or 4 months working in the garbage patch, and he has got these findings. So he's been investigating the mapping technique, the plastic hotspot density, and the vertical distribution of microplastics. And what his findings reveal is, 75 to 86% of plastic debris is from fishing at sea. That's it. Yeah.
Really?
Most of it is from fishing vessels.
What the heck?
Mm.
What are they doing out there? Mm. They're taking their personal rubbish and dumping it at sea or something.
Commercial fishing. Yeah, they're just.
So maybe there's way more fishing boats out there than I think.
Yep. So to find out all of those questions,
yes.
You can head down to the Harbour View Hotel. So in the front bar there, he'll be presenting. It's just for 1 hour from 6 p.m. till 7 p.m. So he's going to be talking about all of that, like his recent trip.
Can we get a chat with him on the radio and promote?
You can ask him. Yeah.
Okay, all right. I'll try.
Maybe after Science Night.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So get down there. That's November 16th. From 6 p.m. And that's a free event, of course, so you can arrive a little bit early so you can order some dinner, so you get to eat your burger, drink your beer during the presentation.
Yep.
It's the bar fits like we get about 30 people on average into that front bar, and it's not quite full then.
Yep.
So there's still some space, so I reckon we could probably fit 40 total.
Yeah, yeah.
But
so there should be
get
plenty
in there
plenty of room
early to order food. Yeah.
Yeah. How's the... Oh, there's another science night.
Oh, yeah, we've got another science night, and that is in December. So Wednesday, the 7th of December. It's exactly the same format, 6 to 7. The Karioi Project. So Crystal is going to be presenting their latest work, like what they've been doing recently, bit of an update, and what their plans are. So that'll be, I think, really a really valuable update on what's happening.
Yeah, okay.
Especially with the Oi chicks, they started hatching in September, so it's quite a pivotal, you know, time of year for them.
Yeah, yeah. I went to speak to her quite a while ago. Yes, all right. So, and the growers market, I was down at the growers market on Friday checking it out.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Plenty of stuff happening.
Yep, yep.
Are you still, are you looking for... Are more people coming online, or like I imagine people are growing stuff and some of them aren't ready and, you know, all sorts of seasonal kind of stuff going
on. So there's still a lot of growers, like, you know, especially backyard growers and that, who their produce isn't quite ready yet.
Yeah.
So as we get closer to, you know, warming, as we warm up more, we'll start seeing more stallholders with their fresh produce. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So who is there at the moment? Oh, have you been down or?
Yep, yep. So we've got, we've got really good food trucks there. Like, it's quite good timing for grabbing dinner on a Friday evening.
Oh, yeah, Kaiwaka was there.
Yeah, Kaiwaka. Yeah, and Itai, Raglan Falafel, we've got Dizzy Blocks. We've had Raglan Gelato. I think they weren't there on Friday, but they were before that, and they're back for the rest of the season from this Friday. And then we have... some of the regular produce stores who did have their stuff ready.
Yeah.
Pond Road sell out, like, one of the stores especially sells out straight away.
Mm.
And then we've got another store that's got quite a lot of fresh produce that is like a collective of growers around town. And I think that's a really good way to do it, is if you're backyard growers and you feel like you don't have enough produce to warrant a stall, people are getting together and sharing the responsibility of having a stall, and then the cost of a stall. It is only $20 for a stall, but you can, and then you get to fill out a stall as well with each other's produce. It's quite a good way to do it.
Can people, is there someone, if someone's at home thinking, I could do that, I'd want to share, but I don't know who I'm sharing with,
just
can they talk to Tanya about
it? Get in touch with us, because you know,
generally, just get in touch with the Environment Centre.
So if you go to the website, because we've got a new website now.
Oh, yes.
Yep. So that's much more. We've been finally moved over to a new website that is quite functional and very up to date. And if you go there, you'll find under what we do, the growers market, and that links you in. And it's a contact us page and everything as well, so it's pretty easy to get in touch with us.
Okay, cool. All right.
Yep. You can also if you use Messenger, you can message the Growers Market Facebook page as well, and that goes directly to myself or Tanya.
Okay. Mm. And so this is going to be 5 to 7 every Friday night?
5 to 7 every Friday night.
Is there a gap over Christmas or something like that? Or?
I don't think there is this year, because the way the Fridays fall, it doesn't affect.
Might work out. Okay.
Yeah. But also... something we're really, really trying to push is we are actively working towards being a waste-free market, like a single-use waste-free market.
Yep.
So we really need the community to get on board with us on that. So there's people like – so you look at Raglan Falafel, they offer the use of plates, their own plates, which they wash themselves, but you can help them by bringing your own bowl or plate.
Yep.
And then I know Sasha with Kaiwaka, she is giving a discount on people who bring their own reusables.
Oh, okay. Yep.
So she doesn't, because she's trying to eliminate her single use stuff as well.
Yeah.
No one's using plastic or anything like that. But even the vegetables, you know, we've had a stallholder who she offers like large salad leafy greens, like big bowls of it that is super fresh. And with tongs, you can fill up your own containers, you know. So really think about, start looking at jars in a new way. Like there's a glass shortage coming up. So instead of just...
What's that about?
I don't know, but I read it recently that overseas they're starting to see a glass shortage. Yeah, so we need to really start thinking about our use of jars.
There's been so many shortages lately. Why not a glass shortage?
Yeah, and jars make really great storage, like, you know, containers.
Well, that's what they were invented for.
Exactly. Yeah. So instead of throwing them into the recycling, wash them, save them, use them.
Yeah, yeah. And why have I got a note here about reusables, or is that what we're talking about
we
now?
We talked about it.
Right, that's it. Yeah, okay.
But yeah, cool. Get on board the fun train of reusables, everyone.
Yeah.
That's where we're heading. You just got to get used to it. It's the same thing that happened with plastic bags. People just need to change their habits.
Yeah, it's about building a habit of having stuff that's always in the car.
And it's much nicer to use.
Yeah, I find it's much easier.
It's cooler.
If someone else in my family is organising, always keeping bags in the car, then I'm good.
Yep.
If I had to rely on myself, I'd have to, it's building habits. Yeah, I'm joking about my inability to do it, but most people can do it.
And it doesn't stop thinking everything, like all your reusables when you go out in public have to be fancy. They don't. Nothing has to be fancy. It's just, you know, if it does the job, the purpose of what you need it for, then that's good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, have you got stuff, projects you're working on at the moment that they're not quite ready to put into action, but nearly ready?
We always do, Aaron.
Oh, yes.
We have got one thing I do know that you need to keep an eye out for is if you've really wanted to learn how to make a worm farm from scratch, is we are going to be setting up a hungry bin for. At the community house, which is going to be for the community house to be able to use along with us, like the radio station and WEG.
Yeah.
That's actually going to be set up as a workshop.
Yeah.
If you want to know how to start a worm from scratch, we'll be advertising a workshop on that soon. So keep an eye out. And if ever you want to know what's happening with the Environment Centre, just Google Whangaroa Environment Centre, go to our website, and there's an event tab, an event page, and that always has all of our events running up there that link you directly to how you can head along to those.
And were you telling me before we went on the air about something else happening with the community house? No, gardeny thingies?
No, I think that was it.
That was the worm farm.
Okay, worm farm.
Hungry bin. Is that a proprietary name, Hungry Bin?
I think it's just the brand of the actual bin, because we've had one down at the community gardens. It's quite a big worm farm, it's purpose-built. So it's not like your normal tiered one, but it has the same approach.
Okay. Mm.
It's a little bit more commercial, like it'll be bigger, so it'll take all of the food scraps for the different, like, you know, businesses around, organisations around here.
Yeah, okay, cool. All right, folks, we'll be talking to Jasmine from the Environment Centre. Thank you for coming in.